Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
All right, we're hunkering down, avoiding crowded places, right? So if you can only make one big grocery haul for the next 2 weeks, what should we buy? Carlo Lali Music, Bon Appetit's food editor-at-large and author of the cookbook Where Cooking Begins, posted a new piece titled, Say You're Stuck at Home for 2 Weeks, How to Prepare So You'll Feel More Prepared. It's on bonappetit.com, along with a link to 37 freezable make-ahead meals. Carla is a New Yorker. She's been here through the blizzard of 96, the aftermath of 9/11, multi-day blackouts, Ebola scare, Hurricane Sandy. But she wrote that this is the one time she's really been thinking about long-term prep. Carla, welcome back to All of It.
Thanks for having me.
So you put together a list of some basic good practices that you picked up from the CDC and the Red Cross, and threw in your own words, some well-intentioned online sleuthing. And your big advice was, if you're making a financial investment in these precautions, don't waste your money on items you wouldn't ordinarily eat or couldn't set aside for future emergencies. For example, give us a couple of examples of probably not the best idea.
So I think that, you know, when people hear the phrase panic buying, they panic and then they go buy stuff. And I think that our urge is to kind of be covered. But for example, you don't need 20 bags of popcorn and a case of canned beets. You know what I mean? Unless you really love canned beets, which if you do, you know, no shade. But really think about like what you enjoy eating, what you already use. Take a look at your existing stock, your existing pantry, and maybe replenish what you're in the habit of using rather than like deciding you're going to cook in some whole new different way right now. There's a lot to figure out. So I would keep it familiar and keep it like very user friendly.
So what are some of the basics to get hold of?
I think you want to start thinking through how a meal is prepared. And this might sound very obvious, but do you have enough cooking oil? So one of the first things that I bought was a couple extra backup bottles of olive oil and a few pounds of butter, because both of those things are shelf stable. I use them all the time. The butter I can put into the freezer, and they're going to be a part of anything I make, whether it's sweet or savory. The next thing, you know, people really talk a lot about rice and beans. And of course, those are, you know, shelf stable again, very nutritious, filling, fairly versatile. But if you're going that route, instead of just buying rice, think about different kinds of grains that you might like. A little bit of variety is going to be important. So don't just get white rice. Get some wheat berries, get some quinoa, and, you know, get some brown basmati, for example. So then you have kind of grains covered. And then same in the beans. Don't get all canned beans. Get a mix of canned and dried, and vary what you have in the house. A can of chickpeas or dried chickpeas could become hummus, whereas, you know, a big pot of white beans could turn into a soup, or, you know, could even be served room temperature. You can mash them up and make a puree that you put on a sandwich. So just trying to think about those ingredients as building blocks.
Carla, where do you stand on frozen veggies?
Well, I think that almost any veggie can become a frozen veggie. This is another, I think, really strong instinct people have to go buy, you know, a dozen boxes of frozen spinach. I get it. But there is also a lot of really great looking produce. We have no issues right now with restocking stores. Maybe the supply got a little bit low when everybody went out at the same time. But food is coming back on the shelves. So rather than having like a bunch of frozen spinach in my freezer, I have, you know, yesterday I cooked down 3 bunches of Swiss chard in a way that's going to last in my fridge for at least a week. And that's something that I seasoned the way I like it, cooked it down. I used 100% of the vegetable. And that to me, I think is just as good, if not better, than having just plain frozen veggies.
My guest is Carla Lally Music, Bon Appetit's food editor at large. We're talking about cooking while cooped up. Where can we use dried fruit aside from just snacking on it?
Yeah, that's a good one to have because, again, you don't have to worry about it going bad. Make a big batch of granola. I think that is like super useful. You can also rehydrate. I did this when my kids were younger then, but you can rehydrate dried fruits and then throw them into a smoothie. So if you sort of don't have like frozen fruit or fresh fruit, you can use dried in that way. And then, I don't know, rice pudding. Mm-hmm. It's very divided out there. Some people love dried fruit in their rice pudding and some people think it is just absolutely insulting.
I'm imagining the human who is like, I'm insulted.
Some people have really big issues with raisins being in places that they're not expecting. But that's actually, I just made a very delicious grain salad the other day that had a very herbaceous kind of dressing. And I chopped up some golden raisins and I put that in the grain salad just for like a little bit of sweetness, but also the chewiness. And I could see doing that with dried apricots or unsweetened sour cherries, do a little sweet and sour.
All right. Say you've gone to the store and you did do a panic buy. You picked up something you haven't picked up before because you thought it would be a good idea. And the example I'm going to use, not saying I know anybody who did this, coconut milk.
Oh, well, coconut milk, unsweetened coconut milk is something that you could think about using in any recipe where you would have used chicken stock or water. So you can even make a pot of rice using coconut milk, you know, part coconut milk and part water, and make like coconut rice. They're delicious, like any kind of Thai curry would be, you know, spicy from a curry paste, and then the liquid in that would often be coconut milk. So I think that is a great thing to have, and I've even used coconut milk in smoothies. So, and if you were lucky enough to buy sweetened coconut milk like Coco Lopez, then obviously we're coming over for pina coladas.
There you go. Get out of my head. As soon as you said that.
Virtual pina coladas. We'll toast from via FaceTime.
So I'm curious what you think about comfort foods and treats at this point. Yay or nay?
I think it is really important if we're giving up a lot right now, if people are going to stay in, people are working at home, kind of missing out on the social life that came from school or going to an office, you've got to find some like levity somewhere. So I think having a couple bars of chocolate that you could either snack on or chop up to put into cookies, melt them if you're going to make brownies or chocolate sauce, I think you should definitely think about that when you're picking up your groceries.
My guest is Carla Lally Music, Bon Appetit's food editor at large. We're talking about cooking while cooped up. All right, so someone has stocked their fridge. If you go to your fridge right now and you open it up, what should we use first, Carla?
So you want to use any of your delicate produce sooner rather than later. So by delicate produce, I mean herbs, which have a shorter shelf life, like cilantro, parsley, the tender herbs, mint and basil are going to go pretty quickly. So I would try to use those, whether you're making a pesto with them or an herb sauce or putting them into a pot of beans, which is coming up a lot for people. Your sort of tender lettuces, like a Boston lettuce or baby spinach, those things don't last as long as something like cabbage or kale. And then in the fruit department, I think I just call these your soft fruits. So like berries, mangoes, things like that, that aren't as resilient as a banana or an apple. So you want to kind of get to those first.
Of these foods which are perishable, the ones that can go first, can any of them particularly are good for freezing?
Yeah, actually berries are a really terrific thing to freeze. So I would just put them on like a little tray, like the tray that comes with your toaster oven is usually the perfect size for this. Freeze them flat or just put them on a plate, freeze them flat. And once they're firm, transfer them to a deli container or a zip top bag or something like that. And so you can sort of do this in a way that you're creating your own frozen fruit instead of having to buy it. I'm also doing that with, we just have a ton of bananas in the house right now, and I'm not worried about them starting to get spotted or ripe. Just peel them and freeze them the same way in the freezer, and then you can just drop them into smoothies.
My guest is Carla Lally, Music, Bon Appetit's food editor at large. We're talking about cooking while cooped up. Let's get to some recipes. I know you're going to have a story out with actually what to do with all those rice and beans that people have bought so far. Can you give us a quick preview?
Rice and beans, I have been promoting sort of heavily this recipe that came from Marlowe & Sons, which is one of my favorite restaurants in Brooklyn. And their method, Patch Troffer is the chef there, for cooking beans, which can really be used on any kind of bean preparation. He does white beans, but you could easily do it with a chickpea or a pinto. And so I'm getting tagged in a lot of corn beans right now. And it is just a great way that yields a really beautiful bean broth as well.
What about your turkey and bean chili?
Ooh, I love that. So I worked on that recipe for turkey and bean chili for Healthy-ish, which was really a challenge because a lot of times turkey chili is sort of the concession chili. It's like the chili you get when you're not having actual chili. But it uses ground turkey. A lot of people are using ground meat right now because it is, unlike a nice thick steak, the kind of meat that yields itself really well for the freezer. And it has a chili puree. So instead of going that like tomatillo white chili direction, I used a combination of dried chilies, pureed them with chicken stock, and simmered it with the turkey and canned beans and a little bit of beer. And it's delicious. It's very hearty. It's a little bit spicy. And you can serve it with chips and sour cream, or you could put it with rice as well.
What does the beer do to the taste?
So you could use beer or a hard cider. It just gives it the way that like white wine and a sauce would give just a little bit of an acidity, but also a sweetness and depth. And the cider or the beer has kind of like a nuttiness to it, a little bit of fruitiness. If you don't have beer or cider and you don't drink either one of those things, you could definitely just use a little extra chicken stock. But beer is often in chilies.
You know what? I use cinnamon.
Oh, there's cinnamon stick in this. Very good.
There you go. So how do we keep pasta interesting? Because that's the other thing that people have stocked up on.
Yeah, a lot of pasta. I think that you should think outside of Italy and use, first of all, different kinds of noodles. So if you just have pasta, obviously, that's fine. But pick up some udon, get some dried ramen noodles. Sun noodle makes a great noodle that is sold all over New York City that is great to pop into the freezer. And then you can kind of take your sauces in different directions. I think with pasta, I don't know if it ever does it ever get boring? I'm trying to think.
You know, I think when you get, especially when you have kids around, your kids are older, but little kids, it's like pasta and olive oil, or pasta and butter again. If there's something extra, is there one extra thing you can put in the pasta to keep it interesting, simple?
Yeah, I actually think that cooking down vegetables, I mean, this is a great way to use up some of those herbs. So like a lot of kids will eat pesto without thinking about it because it has like lots of Parmesan cheese and olive oil. But you can add kale to your pesto. You can mix different herbs into the pesto. And that can be another kind of good strategy to get through things. I also think somehow that if you make a sauce spicy, it just is more, it's more interesting. It's a little more dynamic. It kind of gets out of that just like straight up comfort food. So whether you're doing that with chili flakes or a dollop of harissa or spiking it with some sriracha at the end, no one's going to know.
My guest is Carla Lally, Music, Bon Appetit's food editor at large. We're talking about cooking while cooped up. You have a link to Bon Appetit's 37 recipes that freeze well. We're also going to link to it on our website. What are some recipes that freeze well?
So any kind of braised meat naturally freezes well. So think about brisket, short ribs, chilies, things like that that are cooked with a lot of liquid. Those tend to be really great ones for the freezer. And if you're doing kind of a big batch, like a brisket could be 4 or 5 pounds, that is also answering a need that a lot of people are finding, which is that they want to look in on a neighbor or a friend or someone who can't get to the store or who isn't a good cook. So doing kind of a big batch like that, you can drop into your own freezer, but you can also kind of deliver to somebody else who maybe isn't cooking as much as you are. I think that other things in the that people don't necessarily think about are cooked grains that are just sort of simply prepared can be frozen in batches. So you can do a big batch of rice, a big batch of grains, break them into smaller portions, drop them into your freezer, and then when you want to make a stir fry or a grain salad or, you know, even sort of dress it up with some broth and make like a brothy soup with rice, you already have your grains ready to go.
You have a recipe that says it is quite possibly the best chickpeas. How so?
Yes. So that recipe is from Mina Stone, who's a chef of Greek descent. And she puts a piece of lemon into the chickpeas while they're cooking. And it's sort of like a nice and slow method. And it just does something really special to the chickpeas. And that's one of those, again, kind of like big batch, simply prepared, blank slate almost kind of chickpea that then you can do a lot of different things with. So it's almost as though you made your own kind of, you know, Goya canned beans, but you started from scratch and probably also yielded a really delicious broth in the process.
And before I let you go, biscuits and cookies are things that can be made ahead and frozen. But is there anything we should keep in mind when freezing the dough?
Biscuits and cookies are great either freezing the dough or you can freeze the baked off item. So the only thing to kind of be mindful of if you're freezing dough is to portion it first. And I've made this mistake sort of freezing an entire batch of chocolate chip cookie dough without breaking it into the individual cookies, then you have to thaw the giant batch. So scoop everything into portions. And then very similar to what I said to do about the berries, mm-hmm. kind of freeze it flat until they're firm. Then you can put them into a smaller container and kind of bake as many as you want to. Same thing with biscuits. You can freeze them raw or you can bake them and then freeze them. And you just want them to be airtight so that they don't pick up any moisture or any of the other odors of your freezer.
What are you making this week, Carla? What's on your plan?
Oh, my goodness. So I'm working on my next cookbook. So ironically, I have to be home working on recipes all day as it is. So this is kind of working out for me in that this was already my home office. I just wasn't expecting my husband to be working remotely and both of our kids. So it's a real mix. So last night we had a steak recipe that I was working on for the cookbook, but we also had broth that was for the cookbook. I'm craving very simple, comforting food. So I'm about to make a batch of khichdi, which is an Indian mung bean and rice soup that has a lot of delicious spices in it. And that is one of the things that kind of it nourishes me, but it also kind of calms my whole system down. And that is not for this cookbook. So I'm looking forward to making a big batch of khichdi.
My guest has been Carla Lally Music, Bon Appetit's food editor at large. Carla, thanks for all the good advice.
Thank you.